I'd like to talk to you about this thing called dual tasking and explain a little bit why you should incorporate this into your training. When we're training our body to do something like swimming or running or whatever, it might be music or language or something complex that we find difficult, we're trying to get to the place where we can do it automatically without having to think about it. So when you speak your native language and you're just going out having an everyday conversation, you're not actually consciously having to think about much of what you're saying. Your brain already knows how to do that for you, and you're consciously thinking of other things. So we call that, the skill is automated. Automaticity, it's called. When the brain, different parts of the brain can just take over those functions so you can consciously pay attention to something else. Well, obviously, if you're swimming or you're running and you're doing some sort of sport, you want to be able to be so good at the technique that you can do it without having to think about, without having to make yourself do the right thing, without having to actively prevent yourself from doing incorrect things. So that way you can think about other stuff. You can sing the song in your MP3 player, you can chat with your buddy, you can look at the scenery, you can count laps, miles, whatever it is. Your brain can be doing something else. Obviously, that's one of the benefits. Also, when you consciously pay attention to something, it and you're trying to make something happen, that takes effort and that takes energy. So when you're consciously having to make yourself do something, that's tiring in itself. So you want to get to the place where the skills you're working on are automatic, because it'll actually take less energy for you to produce that, to perform that technique. So there's some good reasons why you want to have things automated, if you didn't know those already. But there's a way that we need to get there. We have to earn our way to being able to move on autopilot by concentrating. We have to pay the price with our attention in order to get to the place where we don't have to pay attention to that particular part of our movement. Okay, so it doesn't come easy, it doesn't come immediately. The other thing is, we have to challenge the brain in such a way that requires the brain to shift control of that activity to another part of the brain that handles it unconsciously. Okay, so initially, when you're first learning a skill and you're working on it, the parts of your brain that are handling that skill have to do it with your conscious attention. So you're like hands on the controls, making it happen. And if you take your attention off of the skill, it doesn't work anymore. So I'm sure you can think of examples where that's happened to you or still happening to you. Now, initially, you have to pay attention to the skill. Yeah. And usually you can only think about that thing, and you can't handle thinking about other things at the same time. You can only manage one thing at a time. That's expected and that's normal. But at some point, you have to raise the challenge. You have to raise the difficulty level on your brain so that your brain has to start shoving some of those things over to other parts of the brain that are going to start handling those unconsciously. Okay? So what we do is, instead of just concentrating on one task or making one part of the body do something, we would now take up two tasks, dual tasking, dual as in two, dual task instead of single task. So that could be like thinking about your posture and then the foot placement when you're in running. That's this running example. So you align your spine in a certain way against gravity so you're nice and straight, and then you are paying attention to where your foot is striking on the ground. And what happens is your brain can't quite handle both of those with the same intensity as it could with just one of them. And so it's kind of shifting back and forth. But that shifting back and forth between them is, while it's paying attention to the foot, another part of the brain is trying to grab onto and hold the posture in place. And then you switch attention back to the posture, and then the brain is going over and trying to manage the foot placement with the other part, with the subconscious part of the brain. And going back and forth, you're kind of like making the brain have to recruit different parts of the brain to assist with what you're asking it to do. And this is all in your attention that you are making this happen. So early on in your learning process, if you've been working with an instructor, if you've been working with me, I'll give you one task. I say, just focus on your head. And then the next moment I'll say, all right, now I want you to focus on your spine. I'll give you a focal point called tippy toes. This is if we're in swimming lessons. And so you'll be thinking about your spine lower down on your back and into your legs, kind of seeing how that feels. And then I'll say, all right, now I want you to hold that tippy toes, that long spine, with weightless head. So then all of a sudden what I've done is I've made you have to hold two things at the same time. Now, those two are closely related. They're connected, right? The head is connected to the spine, and they influence, and they're close together. So it's relatively easy to do both of those together because they're closely related and they're close in location on the body. But then I could go along, we could go and maybe let's say, think about coordinating the propulsive parts of the body, and I'll have you focus on the entry arm, the entering arm entering and sliding down into skate position. So you just focus on that one section. And then I may have you do, hey, I want you to focus on holding with your catch hand, holding that point in the water, and then sliding your body past that point into skate position. So now I've had you take up two parts of the body at once. They're a little bit further apart, but they're still very closely related. And now your brain is trying to zoom out and hold both of those, and it has to recruit some deeper parts of the brain to help you do that. Then we can go a little bit more complex. I could say, all right, I want you to focus on your entry arm and the foot kicking on the opposite side, if we're working on the 2B kick. Now, the two parts are still related, but they're distant, they're farther apart, and they're relying on the torso in the middle, which you're not paying attention to. They're relying on the torso in the middle to make the connection between the foot pressing and the opposite arm entering and sliding into skate. So now the body's having to send commands to the middle of your body, the torso, these other parts of it, but you're not even paying attention to those. But somehow the brain knows that that part has to be involved, and so it's tapping into subconscious areas of the brain to make that happen so that your conscious commands can actually work. So we're basically playing useful, necessary brain games to stimulate the movement of your skill from conscious to control to unconscious control. And we do that through this idea, this concept of dual tasking. So in those examples that I gave you, the two tasks were both related to controlling a part of your body. Now we get a little bit more complex with dual tasking when we want to give you a task, one task inside the body and the other task is outside the body. So it could be feeling the way water is flowing, like holding that point in the water, sliding the body past that point. See, those are external reference points. You're thinking about the water now and a point in the water. We could also think about counting strokes while you're paying attention to a part of your stroke. So you're paying attention to the catch, perhaps, how you're holding the water, and then you're also counting the number of strokes you're taking as you're moving down the lane. So that's dual tasking as well. You're recruiting at least two different sections or two different functions in the brain helping you execute those movements and count strokes at the same time. So then it's likewise, you notice that you're not able to pay quite as detailed attention to that one part, but other parts of the brain are stepping in to pick up that responsibility, parts that don't require your conscious attention. So in this way, we're moving from being a swimmer or a runner or any sort of athlete that has to think so much about every single thing to a person that can just do them and know that you're doing them well, but realize you're not really consciously making any of those things do what they're supposed to do. Sometimes we call this muscle memory, or, you know, the body has just developed a habit for operating this way. And that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for habits that have encoded positive things, things that we want to be doing, right? Things that we want to be doing effortlessly. So I just want to draw your attention then to this technique, this necessary technique for moving yourself from having to think and concentrate so hard to a place where you don't have to think and concentrate, where you can actually sing songs or write a blog or have a conversation or just enjoy the scenery, or, you know, pay attention to a competitor that you want to show up or something. So that's all going to become possible because you invested the effort to make yourself able to do those things automatically. And so, yes, paying attention is hard. Paying attention to two things is even harder. But that is the pathway towards being an athlete that can operate marvelously on autopilot. Okay? So that gives you an idea of what dual tasking is and why you should use it. Talk to you later.